Mayfield underneath center. On first down, takes the ball, gives the ball, a cutback by Chubb. He's to the 10, he's still running to the 5. He dips outside left, he's going in, touchdown! What a run! Nick Chubb! Mayfield gets motion from one of the tight ends, takes the snap, gives. Chubb runs to the left, bangs it to the outside, he dives for the goal line, touchdown! Nick Chubb, his second of the day! Beckham goes wide left, Ratley to the right. Now it's first and 15, and they're back at their 12. Mayfield with Chubb behind him. Mayfield under center on first down. Toss sweep, near side. Here comes Chubb with a cutback. He's out to the 20, 25, 30, 35, 40. Here he goes to the 50. Here goes Chubb. He's going to go. 20, 15, 10, 5. Touchdown, Nick Chubb. He's got a hat trick.
Too good to be truthful. I'm in a room full of entertainers and thieves. Used to let it go. Hey guys, welcome into the Bark of the Browns podcast. I'm your host, Brian Wolf, and today we have local Cleveland radio station WTM 1100 producer and fellow Ohio Media School alum Jake Underwood with us. How you doing today, Jake?
I'm doing well, buddy. How are you?
I'm doing great. Glad to talk some Browns on Victory Week, really. We say Victory Monday, but you know we celebrate it the whole week.
Well, yeah, it's just a good feeling to be able to actually be excited after a really good win after what we've seen previously this season.
Oh yeah, for sure. Those first 3 weeks definitely had a lot of Browns fans, including myself, a little nervous. I mean, deservingly so. Baker didn't look super great. A lot of people were overreacting to a lot of different topics and things throughout the first 3 weeks, but I feel like we're finally starting to touch down a little bit.
Yeah, no, I'd have to agree with that. Personally, when the schedule came out and I got ripped apart for it, I said they were going to start 2-4. I figured they were going to come out slow. Freddie's first time is a first time head coach. Baker's first season starting, you know, as the guy. Odell's first season here. How is the offense going to mesh? Plus, we have a new defense. So I figured it was going to start a little bit slow, but the way that everything clicked on Sunday, it was incredible. I mean, that's the first time we beat the Ravens that bad, to the point the Ravens don't even know how to react. They're just making excuse after excuse, and it's a wonderful thing.
Oh, it sure is. I mean, I can't even remember the last time we beat the Ravens in that fashion. It was ridiculous. I mean, Nick Chubb put on a show. Baker Mayfield had a very underrated 340 some yards and a touchdown. Looked great. The offense definitely was clicking on all cylinders for the first time this season.
Well, and the most exciting thing about that is that Baker's all of the games Baker's had against the Ravens have all been 300 plus passing yards.
Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, when you think about that and the fact that we had we had no success against that franchise. We would sneak a few out with Tim Couch. We won the one with Jeff Garcia in 04. I believe Charlie Fry got one. Trent Dilfer may have gotten one. But to really have this much success in one game, Peyton Hillis had a really good game against the Ravens. And if I remember correctly, that was kind of his coming out game. And he just had a ridiculously good game at M&T Bank Stadium. But since then, it's been the way that it has been up until this past week, where we would just lose and we weren't even close to winning at times.
Yeah, it's crazy. I believe the all-time record's 40-11 between us and the Ravens, if I'm not mistaken.
How sad is that? That's wow.
It's really sad. But
well, I'll tell you, I worked on Sunday. I get in my car after the game and I hear Jim Donovan talking. And he said that Harbaugh is 19-4 against us.
Yeah.
I mean, just think about all of the careers that the Browns have made look better. Just think about the mediocre players that played against this franchise, so it made them look better than they actually were over the last 20 years.
Yeah, that's very true. I mean, the AFC North as a whole, I mean, you obviously had the Steelers who have been a powerhouse for a while. And the Ravens obviously doing very well in the past I mean, 20 years, they've looked great. But then you got the Browns and the Bengals, who haven't been that great of franchises. Yeah, like you said, how many players did we make look that much better than they actually were?
Yeah, it's really weird when you start to think about it, because I mean, you have your obvious players like Troy Polamalu. He was going to be a Hall of Famer either way. You know, Ray Lewis, guys like that. But you know, the one day I went back and I looked at Ed Reed's stats. Almost 30% of his interceptions came against Browns, the bad Browns quarterbacks. So I'm not saying I'm not saying that Ed Reed isn't a Hall of Famer, but I'm just saying that the Browns' mediocre players for the last 20 years put these players in a position to excel. And when you're shooting yourself in the foot like that week after week and season after season, you know, it gets hard to think that you're ever going to do something. But Baker seems to, you know, be the guy. And last year, you know, he proved it where he came in and he just had that attitude to turn that franchise around.
Yeah, no, I agree. The one quote I always love is we asked him before the draft, somebody asked him how he felt about being drafted by the Browns. And he said, if anybody's going to turn that franchise around, it's going to be me. And you never heard that out of many draftees, people that were looking to get drafted number one or top five when the Browns had those picks. I mean, you always heard, I don't want to be drafted by that franchise. I don't want to go there. Baker definitely just embraced it ever since day one.
Yeah, I mean, just think about it. I believe it was Teddy Bridgewater and Sam Darnold both were like, nah, I don't want to play for Cleveland. Which, that's fine. We don't want you at that point. But, yeah, so, you know, something's just different about Baker. He just has that attitude. Once he calms down in the pocket, I think the play calling this past week helped him out a lot with getting Nick Chubb involved and being able to run the ball, because as much as we want to talk about how great, you know, quarterbacks are, I think except for Tom Brady, which at this point, Tom Brady is just an anomaly. We don't know how he does it. He just does it. But most quarterbacks, you need that threat out of the backfield. You need that threat of a run game. You need that threat of a good tight end. Somebody who is going to affect you in short yardage, and that will help the quarterback out. I think where the Browns were running into problems is everything was a five receiver set. Everything was ran out of the shotgun before this Ravens game. And everybody was talking about how Baker, you know, when he threw the ball in under 2.5 seconds, he was at like 90% completion with two touchdowns. It was crazy good numbers. But then after that, it was a higher, it was a lower percentage, excuse me. His quarterback rating was lower. And I think the reason why that is, I mean, everybody wants to overthink it, but it just comes down to common sense. When you have receivers running 30 yards down the field, it's going to take longer for them to get open. They had nothing open in the flat. They had nothing for him to check down to. And this past Sunday, they played the way that they should have, where Odell is the focal point of your offense. Make them stop Odell. So then you can use Jarvis. So then you can use Nick Chubb. So then you could use Ricky Seals Jones, or Jones Seal, whatever his name is. I don't even know if I got that right. But, you know, so you could use those guys. And this week they did the right thing. And everything the New York media said about Odell Beckham, at least from this past week, is completely incorrect. Because you saw on every play where the ball was not in his hands, he was still giving 100%. He still had that fight, and he was cheering on his teammates.
Yeah, no, I agree. Talking about Odell, I want to talk about the Marlon Humphrey situation. I had to bring it up. I don't know how you feel about this. The Ravens just released a video today. I'm not sure if you saw it. Basically defending Humphreys, saying that he never choked OBJ, never threw him to the ground. Now, looking at the video, there was a punch thrown by OBJ. There were things that were going a little both ways, but Humphreys obviously choked Odell. How do you feel about the Ravens defending Humphreys and really even just not letting it go?
I'm not shocked by it. The best thing is this shows where in the Ravens' head.
Yeah.
I mean, it's today's Tuesday. It's Tuesday, and they are still talking about it. And you know, you at this point, they're already preparing for their new teams, the team that they're going to face next week. We're on to the 49ers. So to me, it's hilarious that we are that much in the Ravens' head that they can't get past it.
Yeah, that's true. I didn't even think of it that way. That's crazy. Yeah, you're right. I mean, I don't even think it's just that organization, but the fans in general too. Like, we're in everybody's heads right now, and it's awesome. Coming off a convincing win like that, it's definitely fun, especially against one of your more hated rivals.
Well, yeah, the funny thing about Baltimore fans is they're the most hypocritical people that you'll ever talk to, and I'll stand by this forever. You complain about how your team was stolen in the middle of the night, moved to Indianapolis, and then 10 years later, you do the same exact thing to another city. You cheered Ray Lewis after everything that happened with him. You tried to push the fact that Joe Flacco is elite, and that might be the worst part of it all, that they tried to say that Joe Flacco was elite. But you know, Ravens fans are a unique breed. And, to me, they are some of the most hypocritical fans just in general because of the whole Colt situation, and they're doing the same thing to Cleveland 10 years later.
Yeah, no, I agree. I've gone on record saying that I – easily hate the Ravens more than I hate any other team in the NFL, just because of, they took our franchise, they took our team, and I'll just never forgive them or the hell that they've put us through these past 20
right.
years. So, now looking forward to next week, coming off a convincing win against these Ravens, a lot of Browns fans think not only do we have a shot to go on national television and embarrass the 49ers. I don't know if that's the right word. But also go up against the Seahawks at 1 o'clock the following Sunday and beat them. And I've also heard that we have a pretty good shot against the Patriots from what a lot of other Browns fans think. How do you feel about that? I mean, cause last week we were talking about how we might not even beat the Ravens and we were going to struggle against the Niners and struggle against the Seahawks. How do you feel about coming off this convincing win and now Browns fans having a little bit of a brighter perspective?
All right. So I'm going to say something that people will not like. Slow down.
Okay, I'm ready.
Slow down. The 49ers are 3-0, and whether they deserve to be there or not is up for debate, but they're still 3-0 and we're playing them in San Fran.
Yeah.
We don't travel well. We haven't traveled well. So I want to say the last time we played them was in 2011. We played them in San Fran, and I know we lost that game, but we don't travel well. Now, for it to be the 49ers back-to-back with the Seahawks, we're going to lose one of those games.
Okay.
That's just the way that it's going to work out. If they win both of them, that's incredible. Don't get me wrong. That's absolutely incredible. But we're going to lose one of those games. It's either going to be that we don't travel well to San Fran or Seattle doesn't travel well to Cleveland.
Yeah. No, I mean, I agree. I think that it's going to be tough. I mean, a lot of people are overlooking Seattle because they haven't come out the strongest. They looked a little rough that was the game that Ben Roethlisberger got hurt. So they looked rough against the Steelers when they were a little bit banged up. But, Russell Wilson's a veteran quarterback. Bobby Wagner is the leader of that defense. Granted, their defense hasn't looked too great. I mean, you can't overlook a guy like that. And then the 49ers, yes, they are 3-0. They're coming off the bye week, but I don't know. I expect them to look good against the 49ers on Monday night just because – we do look good normally on national television. We don't show up. We do show up on national television, excuse me. Yep. So I think that'll be a good one. I think the Seahawks is they're going to be a tough matchup for us. If I'm being completely honest, because Russell Wilson is such a mobile quarterback. But he's also got a cannon of an arm. So that'll be interesting. I just want to look at the last half of the schedule.
Okay.
I don't have it down game for game, but I know that we play the Bills, Cardinals, Dolphins. We played the Steelers twice, the Bengals twice, the Broncos. What are some key games there in the second half of the schedule that that we might be overlooking?
That's such a hard question. I think the Broncos, and I understand that they're 0-4 right now, but the Broncos, when you look at their team on paper, they're pretty talented. Say, and I know I just got done ripping Joe Flacco, but Joe Flacco's, he's not a terrible quarterback. He's a game manager. He'll win you games, but he won't lose them for you. That's the good thing about Joe Flacco. I mean, you have the Bills. The Bills have started off really well, but we're not sure what's going on with Josh Allen. The Cardinals, I think we play in week 17. Don't quote me on that. Yeah, I mean, it's hard to tell. Obviously, the Patriots game. It all depends on what happens with the Patriots. If the Browns could go into Foxborough and play the spoiler, play the bad guy. See, that's what I want this Browns team to be. I want them to be the bad guys.
Yeah, I mean, it almost feels like they should be. Just because the whole, I mean, Baker's always got a chip on his shoulder. I mean, that's the way kind of Baker is. He's always kind of talking his talk and just, I mean, also letting his game speak for itself as well. I would love for this team to be that. Almost like a 2010-2014 LeBron type play.
Honestly. Yep, that's exactly what they need to be. That's exactly what they need to be. And I don't think our defense is going to get there until – okay, don't get me wrong. Joe Schobert is an incredible player. But I think the weakest part of our team right now are our linebackers because we don't know what we have at Taki. We don't know what we have at Mac Wilson. He had a great preseason game, but I could list 20 other players that had great preseason games that didn't play a game in the regular season.
Yeah.
Mac Wilson, but he looked well. He looked good on Sunday and in the Rams game, he looked well. So he played well, excuse me. But you know, to me, the most overhyped player on this team, and it's nothing personal against this guy. I understand he does great things, but it's Christian Kirksey. This team every season, they hype up Christian Kirksey to the point that he's going to be the next coming of LT. They have him yell dog check. Everybody gets excited. And he misses the 10 games a year, it seems, every year. We need better linebackers on this team before we can expect great things out of this defense. They're already playing very well. I mean, they held the Rams to 20 points, and the Browns were in that game up until there were 40 seconds left. And we saw what they did to Lamar Jackson. So there's a lot of potential with this team, but I don't think we get there unless we get a stud linebacker. With that said, Taki could step up. Wilson could step up. Schobert is a serviceable linebacker, and he's above average. But I think if we put somebody else next to him, he'd be immaculate. The same way when I brought up LT. The same way when you had Lawrence Taylor, you had Harry Carson next to him. The same way when the Browns had their really good defense in the 80s, you had, you know, Chip Banks and Clay Matthews. You could even go oh, wow, I can't think of his name. In 94, the linebackers that the Browns had, you had Pepper Johnson, and I cannot remember the other linebacker's name. But you need two stud linebackers to really bring a defense together.
Yeah, no, I agree. Speaking of linebackers, what's up with Jannard Avery? He's been a healthy and active for, it feels like, every game. I think it's been every game. What do you think is going on with Wilkes and Jannard Avery?
Well, if I had to assume, so last year we played a traditional 4-3, and this season while we run a 4-3, it's not exactly a 4-3. We have two linebackers and an extra safety or corner out there, but where that extra safety or corner is where Jannard Avery would have lined up. So I don't know how hard the adjustment is to switch from one side of a linebacker to the other. I never played linebacker. I was always line or like tight end or something goofy like that. But on defense, I was always line. So
okay.
So if I had to guess, I would say that they're either getting him prepped for the other side or they're going to move him to D end.
Yeah, that would be something great to see. Miles Garrett, Olivier Vernon, and then Jannard Avery coming in for some snaps too. Man, it'd be
How about Olivier Vernon finally showing up on Sunday? He had been silent this entire season, and he finally showed up on Sunday.
Yeah, I mean, we were all waiting for it though. I mean, Miles Garrett, I mean, he really didn't have himself a heck of a game on Sunday, but I mean, that kind of speaks for this team, because Odell only had 2 receptions for 20 yards, a career low. And like you said, he was still going 100% on every snap, and Miles Garrett didn't really have a game either, and we still totally dismantled the Ravens. That was definitely fun to watch.
Yeah, I mean, just, you know, he's double teamed on every play, Miles Garrett is. So even when he doesn't have a great game, he's still contributing. And that's what's great about having a player like that. And honestly, it's the same thing with Odell on the other side.
Yeah, I agree. So right before I got on the phone with you, I was listening to 92.3, and they were talking about how much of a contribution Nick Chubb has been giving to this team. Obviously, we had a huge game on Sunday against the Ravens. Now, this Browns team has been known for the run game for forever. I mean, you had Leroy Kelly and Jim Brown. I mean, you had Mac and Ernest Biner. I mean, what is Nick Chubb and Kareem Hunt coming in week 10? It will be his first game, I believe.
Right.
What is having both of them in the backfield mean to this Browns team and just continuing that streak of great running backs?
Well, I mean, we have Kareem Hunt for really 6 games. So I don't know if Kareem Hunt will re-sign here. But I don't really know if the Browns need him, to be quite honest with you. I think Hilliard and Johnson are doing a great job. But, you know, look at it. Yeah, the Browns history, they have a really good history of running backs. You could even go back to Marion Motley. You know, we broke the color barrier with Marion Motley and Bill Willis and different guys like that. Paul Brown did. But, yeah, moving through Ernie Green is another one. The Pruitts. You know, every decade we seem to have a good running back until we came back, until 99. The first running back that we had to go over 1,000 yards when we came back in 99 was Reuben Drones. So that tells you where we were at. And I believe that was in 2005, I want to say it was. But
yeah, I believe so.
But, yeah, I mean, Nick Chubb, to me, he can be an elite running back. He seems to be a guy that, as long as all the opportunities are there for him and we can continue to, you know, use him the way that he's best suited to be used, like we did on Sunday. I think, barring injuries, because injuries are always a goofy thing, but if he can stay healthy, which so far he's been doing all right with, and if we continue to use him the right way and have him be our workhorse, then, yeah, I mean, I don't see why he couldn't be a top 5 running back in franchise history.
Wow, that's definitely speaking highly of the great Nick Chubb. I mean, I was just looking at that 88-yard touchdown, and you look at that guy and you think, I mean, without watching him run, you think, that man has the body type of like a Jamal Lewis,
right?
You know, and then he starts running and you're like, wow, he's pretty quick. You know, that's,
yeah, no, he really is. It's yeah, no, it's, it's incredible to watch him play football.
Yeah, I agree. Real quick before I let you go, one last question. What is the ceiling as far as wins go for this Browns team?
Oh boy.
Don't be afraid to hurt the feelings of any Browns out there.
Well, that's the thing. I thought they were going to start 2-4. And, I mean, if they could go 3-3, then we're easily looking at 12 wins. If they start 2-4, I'd say anywhere from 10 to 11 wins.
Okay. I think that's – I mean, we'll obviously take that with – I mean, the last time we had – double-digit wins was in 2007, so definitely take anywhere between 10 and 11 wins.
Right.
I think I mean, you obviously 10 to 11 wins should get you to the playoffs, and that would be a great thing here in Cleveland, hosting a playoff game. It'd be crazy.
Well, I'll tell you what, the first thing I think of when you say that is my cousin. He's had season tickets since he was 18, which was in 94. And I talked to him about it the one day with actually when I was at OMS, we were doing the documentary. And he brought up an excellent point, not one that you would think of. So he got his tickets in 94, and he was 18 years old. And he talked about how if you would have told him in 1994, when they hosted their last playoff game at home, that he would own a house, he'd have gray hair, and he'd basically be a grown man at that point, and he still wouldn't see a playoff game, he would have thought you were nuts. So those are the people that I think of as soon as I hear that, because they deserve to see that. I mean, you have season ticket holders. I mean, he's had them for 25 years, and you think about just the stuff that they've been through. I mean, my first game that I was invited to go to was on Christmas Eve, and it was a 41-0 romping that the Browns received by the Steelers. Charlie Fry started that game. That was, I believe that was 05, because Ruben Drones was the running back. 41-0 on Christmas Eve. And you know what? The next time they asked me to go to a game, I went to the game. You know, that's just the way they were bred. And if there's anybody that deserves to see those games, it's those fans that have had the season tickets since, I would say, since the 80s and up. Because teams before, people before that, you know, they've seen success, but you know, we talk about the 80s as if they did something, and this is going to be harsh, but I love Clay Matthews, I love Bernie, I love all of these guys, but they didn't win anything, and I still respect them for what they did for the game. I still respect the way that they represented Cleveland, but they didn't win anything. And that's the hardest part about it. And that's the way that a lot of people felt about LeBron until he came back. But, you know, if Baker and this team and Freddie Kitchens and Odell and these guys, if they could actually get to that next level and start to win things and move on. You know, I said it about the Indians. You know, wow, they did great this year but didn't make the playoffs trophy could go right next to the 22-game winning streak trophy. For those of you who don't know, there is no trophy. So in hindsight, it doesn't matter, but it does at the same time. It's going to be very interesting to see if they could pull this off. And they have all of Cleveland behind them. They really do. But when you talk about a home playoff game, that's who I think of. I think of the guys like my cousin Carl, his friend Palmer, these people that have my other cousin Gary, these people that have had season tickets for the last 20 years where there's been nothing to root for. I mean, they were there at the game where it was the last game in Municipal Stadium. Those are the people that I want this for. I don't want it for the people that saw the championship in 64. I want it for the people that got the tickets from 1990 and up, because there has been nothing to even grab onto, because the team got rid of Bernie. The team got rid of Biner. He ended up coming back. And then the team just left, and they still stuck by this team. Those are the people that deserve this playoff win. Those people, and the people, honestly, Brandon, our age, the ones that have been a Browns fan since the day they were born, and they've seen two winning seasons in the last how many years? And we still buy the jerseys. We still do the podcasts. We still write the articles. We still devote our time to this team when they've won. I mean, my God, they went a year where they couldn't win one game, and we were still there. That's who I think of when you talk about the home playoff games, because those are the people that deserve to see it the most. Everybody deserves to see it. But those people from 1990 and up that really invested in this team and really became fans in that time, they deserve that, because they have nothing to hold on to.
Yeah, no, I couldn't agree more. I think that, like you said, there's so many great fans out there. And honestly, the Browns have one of the biggest fan bases you can even think of. I mean, I know Nathan Zagura and Bo Bishop on Cleveland Browns Daily, they always joke around and say this is America's team or the world's team or whatever they say. But it's really the truth. Everybody across the world, the Browns backers bars in every single state, in every single country, you know. The Browns have so many fans, and we're just waiting. We've been waiting forever, and it feels like it's finally here.
Yeah, it's odd because, you know, we give ourselves this false hope every year. And I think that's the reason why so many people were freaking out about that week one game, because it was bad. Everything went wrong. But the way that I looked at it with that week one game is I would rather it happen in week one than week 10. And yeah. I think that, you know, they're starting to come together a little bit. One thing that I think is overlooked is I think that Ravens loss last year in the last game of the season really impacted these players. I think it messed with them a little bit because they were on that hot streak. And of anybody to cost the team in the game, it was that pick by C.J. Mosley off of Baker Mayfield. And I think that messed with Baker a little bit. But the fact that this week he could go into Baltimore and show that he can continue to have success, I think that helped him out a lot. And I think for this first half of the season, that might have been the little push and the bump and the road that they had to get over to really get going this season.
Yeah, I agree. That Ravens win really pushed us as Browns fans in the right direction, and the Browns team in general in the right direction to honestly have a bright future and hopefully have a great rest of the season.
Yeah, I think it will. I think, like I said, 2-4 I don't think is insane. You know, just the NFL is fluky. It's a goofy league. There's going to be a game that we should win that we don't. There should be a game that we should lose and we'll end up winning. That's just the way that this league works. So when that happens, let's all, you know, take a deep breath and realize, hey, you know, it happens. It doesn't mean that Freddie needs to be fired or that Freddie's Hugh Jackson. It doesn't mean that. I heard that way too much.
Yeah. Yeah.
So, yeah, I think that was the bump in the road that we had to get over, and we seem to have done that. So let's see. I mean, this could be the game that brings it all together.
Yeah, I definitely agree. Thanks so much for hopping on with me, Jake. I'll be releasing this podcast on Wednesday. So make sure you guys stay tuned every Wednesday for a new episode of the Bark of the Browns podcast. Thanks again to Jake Underwood for hopping on with me.
Hey, yeah, no problem. And if you like what I say or if you didn't like what I said, go ahead and give me a follow on Twitter at JakeUnderwood92. And if you think I'm an idiot, let me know.
Sounds great. Thanks so much, Jake.
Yep, no problem, buddy.
Should I hang my head low? Should I bite my tongue? Or should I march with every stranger from Twitter to get shit done? Used to hang my head.